You are now listening to Shotgun Sports, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you or your club are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, make sure you get in touch with Rick Hemingway. He is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle everything for you. Rick offers new and pre-owned units and exceptional service. He also has a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Rick is well known for setting championship-style targets and designing unbelievable courses, so make sure you ask him about his turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five-stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. This week on the podcast, the president of the Georgia Sporting Clays Association is joining me. He's been in this position for 9 years and continues to grow sporting clays across the state. Please welcome to the show, Harvey Schwartz. All right, welcome to the show, Harvey. Glad to have you on.
Justin, it's a pleasure.
Yeah. You know, I thought it would be a good idea to get your perspective, maybe from the political standpoint within the GSCA, which is the Georgia Sporting Clays Association. Maybe talk about how you see the sport growing in the future and your thoughts on tournaments, shooting, and any other topics we stumble on, I reckon.
Got it.
So first things first, how long have you been shooting and how did you get into the sport?
I grew up in South Texas and had hunted and shot skeet all my life. And a friend of mine, Russ Magby, invited me to go shoot, this new game called Sporting Clays. And I remember the date because I still have it written down. It was May the 4th of 2005. And Russ and myself and one of his, friends, Chris Brown, who's since passed away, went to Big Red Oak, and I shot my first round of sporting clays and broke 51.
So how did you feel about that?
It was enlightening experience from the standpoint of, wow, this is a fun game. Because I had shot skeet when I was young and had played golf most of my life. And I said, this might be something to do on the weekends.
Yeah.
So a bunch of us got together and we started shooting back in the day at the Social Shooting Club, which back then there were probably 200 members and there was a waiting list. Mm-hmm. And there was a shoot just about every weekend that I can remember. Yeah. And we'd go and we'd shoot 100 rounds and then have lunch and shoot another 100 rounds. And it was non-registered, it was non-threatening, and everybody had a good time. You could shoot 20-gauge, 16-gauge, 28-gauge, 410s, or 12-gauge. Right. And it was really the way a lot of us got into registered shooting.
Yeah. I was going to ask, when did you get into that, registered targets?
I shot my first registered event, I believe it was at Cherokee Rose in 2005 or 2006.
Okay.
So right after that, we started shooting registered events.
Yeah. For those of you listening, Harvey has been the president of the Georgia Sporting Clays Association for the past 9 years. And let's get into talking about that a little bit, Harvey, if you don't mind.
Sure.
What is the reason for the GSCA? And what should be the reason for any other state to have something like this?
Well, if you go to our website, it's ga-sportingclays.org. Mm-hmm. And we've got a very robust website, by the way, but it talks about what the history of the GSCA, and after the NSCA was formed in 1989 or 88, I believe. Mm-hmm. The GSCA was formed in 1992. So soon after the NSCA was formed, the GSCA was formed. And really it's a organization that was put together to help foster registered shooters in the state of Georgia.
Right.
And we've been very successful at it. I would mention that most of our shooters are probably some of the most competitive shooters in the United States, with 1,500 members.
Right.
So really, that's the purpose. The purpose of the GSCA was to have registered shoots in the state.
All right. So how did you get involved with the organization?
Well, back in 2008 and 2009, the GSCA had two state shoots at a club in Dublin, Georgia, Millwood. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the GSCA wanted to be in the shoot business, and some things happened, and GSCA was broke. Right. So a bunch of us got together and said, look, we've got to get this thing out of the ditch, and how do we do that? So I became involved. My first foray into the GSCA I was the treasurer, because there was a treasurer that was involved, but there was no oversight on his behalf. And that's what caused the GSCA to run out of money. Now, my background is I'm a retired financial advisor, and knew I could run the books, and hopefully get some money in the bank.
Yeah.
So after 1 year, the president decided that she was going to retire, and so I ran for president that year, Beverly Cole, and became president in 2013.
Okay. So what are your job duties, or what's involved with being in your position?
Well, the primary function is to make sure that the calendar, which we have a very robust calendar, goes smoothly. We, in a normal year, usually have approximately 10 to 15 shoots a month. Mm-hmm. So in 2018, we had 130 shoots. 2019, we had 135 shoots. Last year, because of the COVID, we only had over 100 shoots. So primarily, that's the purpose that I have. Now, the other purpose is to manage the state championship, manage the Hall of Fame, manage the day-to-day business of the GSCA.
Yeah. What differences have been made since you took over?
We have made some changes to the bylaws. Mm-hmm. It got to the point where we had so many clubs that we needed to reduce the number of miles for competing shoots. So we changed the miles from 150 miles to 100 miles for conflicts. We put together a more robust Hall of Fame voting method, so that somebody off the street can't just walk in and become a member of the Hall of Fame, because we really hold the Hall of Fame is really something special.
Right.
Some of the other things that I've done throughout the career is to interact with the NSCA as far as making sure that they know who we are, because of larger shoots coming to the state. For example, the 2017 U.S. Open at Big Red Oak. Mm-hmm. I was heavily involved in making the presentation and putting the presentation together and delivering it to the delegates in 2015. So those are some of the things that I do outside of the GSCA.
Does every state have an organization like this?
No.
Okay. How important is it for a state to have one of these?
Well, for example, there. I think last time I looked, there were 15 states that did not have an organization. What makes it difficult is they can't, the shooters in the state don't have a state shoot to go shoot at to be a member of the state all-state team.
Right.
So they have to make other arrangements to go shoot at another shoot that the NSCA recognized for them to be a member of the state shoot. They're the state team.
Okay, so if they live in a state that does not have an organization, the next state over may have one and they can be a member of that.
Correct. Several years ago, the Alabama State Sporting Clays Association was floundering, and we made arrangements for them. If they wanted to come shoot at our state shoot, which was at Big Red Oak, we would award a concurrent to the Alabama State HOA.
Okay.
Which fortunately they got their stuff together and formed an organization before the shoot, but we had given them that opportunity.
Right. You know, one thing that I've noticed in Georgia is, and the reason we're talking is because I'm in Georgia and you're in Georgia, and we kind of know, you know, we go to the same clubs around the same people. So, but one of the things that I've noticed, and I think you'll agree with this, is that most of the clubs in Georgia all get along. They work with each other as far as dates are concerned and try to help each other. And I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's that way in other states. I have no clue. And you may.
No, it's not, because I'm very familiar with what Texas does and a couple of the other states. Texas, based on what I know, has had a lot of infighting with their clubs. And case in point, recently, one of the clubs decided not to throw was awarded their state championship and decided not to do it. And it all was political. But most of the clubs here in Georgia get along. As one of my good friends, Jimmy Warren, says, when the tide rises, all the boats rise.
Yeah. So give me some details on how the GSCA gives back to the shooter, which is an important part.
Right. That's a great question. So every year we collect our revenue from target fees. And in 2017, for example, we threw 1,700,000 targets. 650,000 was at the U.S. Open. So if you multiply that times 3 cents, that's a bunch of money.
Right.
And so every year since I've been president, we've given called shooter appreciation tokens back to the shooter. We started at 40 bucks and we're now up to 50 bucks. Okay. So every main event entrant into the state shoot will get a little bag of poker chips that are worth 50 bucks. You can use them anywhere you want to on the grounds. Food, vendors, entry fees, et cetera.
Right.
Make or break, doesn't matter. Practice course, doesn't matter. And the reason we've done that is to spread the money around and to keep the money moving, going back and forth. A lot of the vendors like the program.
Yeah.
Because for example, Granny and Mike Sherman at PMS Firearms, they always turn in the most tokens other than entry fees at most of our state shoots.
Right.
Now another thing that we've done, we did it in 2017 at the Meadows. We gave away another $10,000 to $12,000 in Yeti cups and coolers.
I remember
at a random draw at the facility that we have, the state shoot dinner.
Yep.
And so our plan going forward is every 5 years when we have an anniversary shoot, that we're going to give away more money to the shooters. So next year in 2022 at the state shoot, John Black and I, the treasurer, are going to get together and figure out, okay, how much can we afford on top of the $50 tokens,
right,
plus X number of dollars in Yeti cups. Plus, we also give away 10 free entries, mm-hmm, to the main event. We also give money away each year to the state SCTP championship, usually held at Forest City.
Right.
So we're trying to give the money back to where the people that paid for the shoots and the target fees are the shooters, and give it back to everybody.
Right. I mean, the money in the bank belongs to the shooters, I'm assuming.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. But I want to make sure that the money goes back to everybody, not just to a few, mm-hmm, because we've determined that increasing payouts, increasing prizes don't draw any more entrants. It's been proven at Nationals. We did it a few years ago where we added more money to the pot, no extra entrants.
Yeah.
Because people want to go shoot. They want to be with their friends. They want to shoot fun, entertaining targets, have a good time, and enjoy themselves. Right. And most people don't think about, oh, I need to go win some money to pay for my entry fee.
Yeah. So you mentioned the 2022 anniversary shoot. What will that shoot be about? You have any details on what you're planning to do with that?
Well, we haven't voted on it yet. The bids have gone out. They're due back to me May the 15th, I believe.
Okay.
And it's going to be a similar situation like we had for the 25th anniversary, where we'll have special giveaways and that kind of thing.
You said the bids are out. Go into the process of how you vote on where the shoot's going to be, and any other details you can give me about that.
Well, as you know, and you've been to more than one state shoot, hopefully.
Yeah.
Our state shoot is bigger than just about every state shoot in the nation other than Texas. The state shoot is also bigger than most of the regionals. It's been bigger than the North Central Regional for the last few years in Northbrook. At the Meadows last year, we had 499 people in the main event. Mm-hmm. The reason people like to come to our state shoot is they know it's going to be competitive. They know they're going to have a good time. They know the food's going to be great. So, and they know we're going to have a lot of events. So here's what clogs up a lot of the courses, if they're not large enough, is to host the number of events, because at our state shoot, we'll have all sub-gauge, pump, side-by-side, V-task, sub-gauge V-task, super sporting, main event, prelim. What have I left out?
Five stands, so, you bring that up?
And five stand. And then you have to have practice five stand, make a break.
Right.
Practice course, parking for 500 cars and trailers and Polaris's and that kind of thing.
Right.
So it limits a club that doesn't have the ability to host that event because of the size. How many traps do you have to have? How many trappers do you have to have? So their bottom line is there are only a few clubs in the state that can host a state event.
Right.
So we send it out to all the clubs that we think that can have it with a situation in that if you don't have room to do all the events that we require, please call me and see if we can work something out. But you know, most of the time they don't.
Right. What all is involved when they send that back to you?
Well, it's very similar to what the NSCA puts out as far as criteria for a regional or a U.S. Open. It's very similar. How many targets you're going to have, how many rotations you're going to have, how many courses you're going to have, how many vendors are there, how many, what kind of food are you going to have? Is there a Saturday night party? Is there a Friday night party? How much does it cost extra for a guest? You know, there are a lot of criteria in that 15-page document that needs to be answered before you should send the bid in to bid on the state shoot.
Right. Who votes on that? Is that the delegates and officers voting on that?
No, the nine officers vote on the bids.
Okay.
And the announcement will be made at the state shoot this year, who gets it for 2022.
Okay. I brought up officers and delegates. Kind of go into what their duties are and why it's important to have them people.
All right. We've got nine. The board is made up of nine people. Mm-hmm. President, vice president, secretary, treasurer, three shooters, and three club members. So we talked about my duties. The vice president basically takes over if I can't be at a meeting or whatever. And really the secretary treasurer is a key player. Mm-hmm. Because he deals with all the funds. He helps me with the scheduling of the tournaments. He also keeps records of who pays their target fees and how often do they pay them. The three shooters on the board represent the shooters across the state.
Yeah.
And then the three club members will represent, you know, the 18 or so clubs that we have. And so we have a pretty good diversity of people in the state. And the board has done great. I mean, we've got along. There hasn't been a whole lot of infighting since I've been around. There was prior to that. But right now we've got a good group of people that are totally involved in making the state as strong as we can be as far as shooting is concerned.
A topic that, you know, really doesn't get brought up much, but it's an interesting topic, is how do you deal with complaints? You know, if you have shooters with conduct issues within the state or anything else, how do you deal with complaints like that?
Well, we've had a few since I've been around, and the NSCA has certain guidelines that we have to abide by. We can't change the rules on what they do. So if there is a complaint, then somebody has to file the complaint.
Yeah.
So if a shooter sees some impropriety, it's up to them to file a complaint. And normally the chain of command is they will file a complaint with me and give me all the facts. They saw somebody miss a target, whatever.
Right.
Then I'll do my investigation where I'll call and talk to all the parties involved and try to get as much information as we can. Then I will send that to the board. And if the board decides to pursue it, then we send it to the NSCA, and the NSCA Executive Council will then decide on
they kind of take over.
Yeah, what the next steps are.
Yeah, yeah. Before we go on, you mentioned the Hall of Fame earlier, and that's important for the state. It's important to you.
Right.
Kind of go into how inductees are nominated and
okay. On the website, there's a tab that says GSCA Hall of Fame, and it goes into the history. It used to be called the GSCA Sportsman and Sportswoman of the Year. And two of the gentlemen, Don Crenshaw and Don Chapman, were the guys that kind of got this kicked off. over time, it's changed to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And the way it works is there's a set of qualifications. You have to be a Georgia resident for at least 5 years, regular competitor, shooter, participates in the sport, et cetera, et cetera. Then each year we get, I have a committee of three people, myself, another board member, and an outside member who receive nominations from the membership.
Right.
We review the nominations, we review the bios, and then the board votes on the Hall of Fame. It takes 2/3 majority to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then at the annual meeting, we will make a presentation to that person that evening at the annual meeting.
Yeah. Does the nominees have to be shooters, or can they be influential people, or?
They need to be a regular competitor, okay, recreational shooter who actively participates, mm-hmm, outstanding record of accomplishment and service to the sporting clays community, history of promoting sporting clays and encouraging new shooters, and attributes embodied in the Dons, which is Don Chapman and Don Crenshaw.
Yeah. Now, if a state has any questions about running their association, could they give you a call and maybe you help them with that or guide them in the right direction?
Absolutely. We encourage other states, and I've helped some of the other states, Alabama, for example, Louisiana had a tough time a couple of years ago. And I always talk to states like North and South Carolina, usually because they're bordering with us, Florida as well. Mississippi, I've talked to those guys, and being from Texas, I know a lot of people still there and still talk to some of their board members as well.
Yeah. Youth shooting in Georgia is huge. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Well, that's one of my themes that I've always looked up to. To give you an example, when I first started in 2005, we didn't have any youth shooters. We had a few. Mm-hmm. And then this program called SCTP came around.
Right.
And Sammy McFadden got involved, and then it started growing, and it's grown, and it's been like a weed. In fact, this coming weekend in Savannah is the SCTP Southeast Regional, where there are over 500 kids entered.
This is probably going to air after that competition, but go ahead.
Well, 400 of them, I believe, are from Georgia.
Yeah.
But the kids have really just gone nuts. There are quite a few other entities that have programs, the GISA, the 4-H, those types of organizations, and it's wonderful for the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you get people to that's how you get the sport to grow. So you get people involved at a young age.
So how many people just in general do you expect to be at this shoot?
All right. So you take 500 kids and multiply that times three. Because normally it's 500 kids, two parents and a grandparent normally.
Right. And so it's going to be at Forest City Gun Club, and that's probably one of the larger courses in Georgia, if not the largest.
It is, Justin, from a standpoint of they shoot three disciplines.
Right. That's what I was getting.
They shoot skeet, trap, and sporting clays.
Right.
And in the state of Georgia, there's one club that can handle all that, maybe two, but primarily one club, and that's Forest City Gun Club.
Yep. Yep.
Which is the oldest gun club in the United States, by the way.
It is. I went shot there a few weeks ago, and it's It's always fun to go down there and just the history that you know is at that place.
Oh, it's awesome.
And the members, it's a really cool place.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of youth, I mean, they've got an unbelievable youth program. In 2012, when we had our state shoot there, I became the treasurer that year. And you could tell the club was run by mostly Skeet members because mm-hmm. they didn't want us there. And the tide has turned. So now it's run by mostly sporting clay shooters.
You're talking earlier that the GSCA donates money to the SETP and other organizations. What does the SETP do with the money that you donate?
In the past, what they've done, and there's been a change of the guard down there. Sylvia McCart is now the state coordinator. But we used to send a check directly to the club to lower the entry fees for all entrants.
That's good.
And so it helped everybody. In the past year or so, I believe we sent it directly to the SCTP, the state organization, and they can do with it what they want to. And if they buy, you know, entry fee down or buy ammo for the kids, whatever, it's their money. Let them do with it what they want to.
Right. Talking about Georgia, so just what do you think has spiked the youth shooting?
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Georgia has a lot of rural communities that are involved in hunting. Mm-hmm. And a lot of kids do hunt, their parents hunt. And so what better way to get a kid into hunting is to, hey, why don't you go try to shoot some skeet and learn how to use the gun safely, and we'll go out and shoot some dove.
Right.
Yeah. That's what has happened. And then the kids, you know, are competitive amongst themselves. Georgia has a lot of great football, basketball, baseball, but they also have a lot of great young shooters as well.
That's right. They do. That's for sure. How do you think that we can grow the youth shooting in Georgia in years to come?
Good question. It's expensive. And that's the biggest hurdle to a parent having discretionary income to help fund a shooter. Because let's face it, I mean, you know how much it costs to go shoot around a sporting clays, and right. there's a gun involved. There's entry fees. There's ammo, et cetera,
right.
Glasses, earplugs. It keeps going. And so how does a family decide, all right, I've got $100 a week that I can spend on this. And so I think the biggest challenge is going to be how do we get the money, into the kids or have it be less painful for the parents.
So moving on to another topic, you write articles for Clay Shooting USA.
Correct.
Okay. What do you try to write your articles about? Is there a topic you try to stay on?
Well, most of the time it's about a shoot. For example, I've covered the Georgia State shoot for as many years as I can remember. I just did a third of the Seminole Cup. I'll do part of the Southeast Regional at the Meadows in April. I did part of the U.S. Open. So up to now, it's been primarily shoots.
Right.
But having said that, I've got some new articles that I'm working on right now. One of them primarily is what color is your target? And I've got three or four pretty good shooters and target setters around the world that are going to help me with that. Anthony Matarese, Robert Crow, who is the head guy at White Flyer.
Right.
Richard Falls, who I talked to, and he's from England, and a couple other people that I want to know what color target do you throw in that situation?
Yeah.
What color target do you throw in the sky? What color target do you throw with a green background?
Well, don't you think different people would say different things?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know that you had Rick on the show, I believe, Rick Hemingway.
Yeah.
And Rick's got his own ideas, and that's fine. But I've been shooting for a lot of years, and I see a lot of targets that I would have thrown a different color.
You're saying use a different color target. Is it because maybe your eyes are different or maybe you're older, or what makes you want to see a different color target in different places?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, let's look at the demographics of the sporting clay shooter.
Okay.
He's a 55-year-old person,
right,
that shoots on a regular basis. His eyes are going.
Mm-hmm.
He's not 16 anymore. And that's the guy that spends most of the money for these shoots, like it or not. So that's your clientele. And if I were a club owner, I'd want to make sure that guy gets the most bang for the buck that he can possibly get. In other words, I want to make sure he sees all the targets clearly and is able to hit them.
So you wouldn't just be changing target colors then. You would be changing the presentations and the shooting windows and a lot of stuff.
Well, not necessarily presentations, because I could take you out to a club and have three different traps side by side by side throwing the same target, mm-hmm, with three different color targets in there, and you tell me which one's easier to see. It's the same presentation.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we went to Nationals one year and there was a target out there I'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It was an orange dome target with a black ring. It's called an ATA target.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
What?
Trap shooters have been shooting that target for eons. and the reason being is because the target leaves the trap house. Normally there's a background that it goes into, and then guess what? It goes into the sky. So it's orange to see it leave the trap house and black when it gets in the sky.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like that target then. I love that target.
Okay.
A lot of people especially here in the Southeast don't throw it. But a lot of the clubs that I go to, Big Red Oak, for example, he'll throw ATA targets. Because we took them to Nationals one year, and that's what they had.
Yeah. How old are you, Harvey?
I am 70 years old.
Okay. So looking at targets, what is easier for you to see? I know it depends, but what is an easier target in the woods?
In the woods would be if it's the summertime.
Yeah.
It's an all orange target.
Okay. And in the sky would be black.
And the sky would be black.
Okay.
Either a black bottom, mm-hmm, with an all orange top, because then you could see the definition of the black meets orange, all black.
Okay. Now, as you've gotten older and in the sport, has this changed for you?
Well, it did for a while, Justin. And last year I had both my cataracts done.
Right.
So I have no prescription whatsoever. So I'm seeing the target as best I can
right
now. The last time I had my eyes checked, they were 2015. So my eyesight is good, but still shooting an orange target in the sky, unless you're 16 years old, it's hard to see detail on that target.
What other difficulties have you faced getting older in shooting?
The target presentations have been ramped up. And the reason they've been ramped up is because the shooters have gotten better.
Uh-huh.
The target setters have gotten better from a standpoint of they're trying to not fool the, the shooter, but use speed, distance, and angles to have the shooter say, all right, I've got to have my A game here or I'm not going to do well on this target.
Right.
So the target setters have upped their games, and consequently, the shooters have upped their game.
Yeah.
So from a standpoint of technical, yeah, I can still hit a trap shot, you know, going away. I can still hit a crosser going away, but throw me a big looping chandelle at 40 yards that's orange, you know, going away, and those targets get harder to hit.
There's a lot of those thrown too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked about that several times. The ability of people in shooting right now is unreal. You know, it don't matter to some of these guys what you throw, they're going to hit it.
Oh, sure.
It's unbelievable.
Well, people are practicing more. And again, before 2020, people were practicing more. Shells were more available. Now, after last year, yeah, the whole sport came to a screeching halt. But if we get back to the new normal, yeah, people are going to still practice. People love the sport. People love to break targets. And that's what's going to drive the sport, is to have these big shoots, to make them entertaining. You know, there's some clubs that just throw really, really difficult targets. And guess what? Their numbers are going down.
That's what I was going to ask you next. So if you were setting up a just say you had a registered shoot that you were in charge of, would you want it to be to where one guy shot a 95, or would you rather it have, I'm talking about the good guys now, and or would you rather have it to where 20 guys shot a 95?
If it was just a local registered shoot, you know, I'm gonna send it back to my golf days. All right, there were 18 holes in golf. Okay, normally when I used to work at a club, we'd say, all right, let's have six easy holes, hole locations. Let's have six medium, and let's have six hard hole locations.
Okay.
So that's kind of the same way I would do a sporting clays course.
Right.
I would have a lot of, I wouldn't call them hard, but I'd call them medium to hard difficulty, along with an easier target. I don't want to put zeros on your card on one station. I'll give you an easy target with a harder target.
Yeah.
And then I may give you a station with two trash can lids, you know, so right, you can run it.
Right.
And if you miss one, that's on you, not on me.
Yeah.
And then I may give you a 40-yard orange crosser. But yeah, then the second target's going to be relatively easy. Again, I don't want to put all zeros on your card for one station. Yeah. And if 10 people shoot a 95, fine. Let's go have a shoot off. Like what happened at, what was it, Cherokee Rose a few weeks ago. You had four people shoot 100.
Right.
And they had a shoot off.
Right.
You know, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, when you have targets and then you have people shooting, you know, say four 100s, that just means the targets were a little easier and everybody should have had fun with it.
Exactly.
You know, do you feel that targets should be harder at regionals, nationals, big blast shoots versus?
I do, from a standpoint of if we're trying to crown a national champion,
yeah,
which nationals does.
Right.
Then yeah, let's have the targets be a little harder, but not bone crushing hard. and because, you know, a couple of years ago when we had the big rain, they had a shoot off that was not handled very well, and the person that should have won it, that broke most of the clays, did not win. And but take, for example, the 2017 U.S. Open that we had at Big Red Up.
Right.
We decided as a group that we wanted to make the targets user-friendly for everybody, so that when you walked off the course, you said, gosh, I had a good time. Those were fun targets. And guess what? We had a shoot off. Mm-hmm. We had a 6-person shoot off at the end that was viewed on Facebook Live by over 5,000 people.
Wow.
Watching it. And that's where the 6 people lined up. They shot off and, you know, Brandon Powell won.
Yeah.
But he broke more targets in the shoot off than everybody else.
Super final, I think is what they called it there, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So the Georgia State shoot's going to be at Forest City this year, correct?
Correct. It is going to be June the 16th through the 20th. Currently, there are over 400 people registered. It'll be a good time. Planning on a Friday night cocktail party and the Saturday night low country boil that they normally do.
Yep.
The Southeast Regional, if you want me to tell you about that real quick.
Go ahead.
At the Meadows, April 26th through May the 2nd. That's going to be a big one. There are currently 866 people registered.
Unbelievable.
I know. It's going to be something to see. Two other notable shoots this year. The turkey shoot is scheduled for August the 12th through the 15th at the Meadows.
Bring it cooler.
And your fan.
And a fan.
And the next shoot that in the new regime will be the first shoot of this nature, but it's not the first one the GSCA has ever had, the Georgia State FITAS Championship. They had one back in 93, 94, somewhere in there early on, and it was held at Elbert County Gun Club.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we decided that we wanted to bring some of the smaller clubs in to have the ability to host a state championship. So we sent out bids and Old Hudson, was able to win the bid, and it's in September 16th through the 19th.
Okay.
It'll be 200 birds of 12 gauge FITAS, 50 birds, 20 and 28 gauge FITAS, super sporting, and a prelim and a 5-stand, I believe.
If anyone listening has not been to Old Hudson, they're famous for their fire trucks, or a fire truck. I don't know if they got one or two, but they throw targets.
They've got 3 of them.
Okay.
And the ladders go up to 100 feet. And by the way, they're having a shoot not this weekend, not the 10th, but the 16th of April. And the 17th, I believe, 2-day fire truck shoot, 100 bird FITAS. So if you're thinking about shooting the state FITAS championship and you haven't been to Old Hudson, this would be a good opportunity for you to go shoot 100 12 gauge FITAS targets at Old Hudson and look at the fire trucks.
Yeah, it's different for sure. And that course where they shoot their FITAS, I believe it's all new. I might be wrong when I'm saying that.
It is.
All covered shooting stands, easy trails. Am I right?
On the sporting course. Yeah,
right.
On the sporting course. On the FITAS, because you're out in the middle of
right.
3 large fields. And,
right.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yep.
It really is.
Yeah. So 2022 is going to be a big year for you. Tell everybody why that is.
Well, it's going to be my last year as the president of the GSCA. I've made a decision that 9 years as president will be enough. And so we're looking for if somebody wants to get involved, they're more than welcome to call me, and I'll let them know how they can get involved with the GSCA. And if they want to run the organization, come on.
Yeah. So they just need to call you. There's nothing else they need to do. You'll just guide them in the right direction.
I'll guide them in the right direction. This year, we've got 3 board members up for voting. Zach Garitas from Forest City, John Black, who's the treasurer, and Jeremy Summerell, who's a shooter, is going to – they're positions are up. Now, they may all run again or they may not. I don't know.
Yeah.
So hopefully if somebody wants to run and has some financial abilities and might want to throw their hat in the ring to help be the secretary treasurer, that'd be fine. Or shooters, or, you know, we know all the club representatives. So,
right. So how do they get involved with that? Same way, call you?
Yeah. Okay. Call me. My email and phone number is on the website.
And tell everybody the website address again.
ga-sportingclays.org.
There you go. They've got a lot of information on that website.
Well, and the other thing, too, is we have a newsletter that goes out usually every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Interesting, it goes out to over 5,000 people.
Right.
Across not only the country, but the world.
And you don't just, and you don't have 5,000 members in the state.
No, we've got, yeah, as of yesterday, we had 1,500 and, let's see, where's my number? 71, which is up from last year, by the way.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you going over all this stuff. You know, I wanted to have you on so we can kind of get some insight on what goes on in, you know, within a state, and kind of talk about what they do to promote the sport. And you shooting, I wanted to touch on that, which we did. And I appreciate you sharing all the information with us.
No, it's been my pleasure. Listen, I'm passionate about the sport. I've enjoyed the ride. We've had a great trip with number of shoots, number of targets thrown, number of kids. You know, we have the largest U.S. Open in NSCA history. We're going to have a large regional here in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
That's good. That's what it's all about, making the sport grow.
Yes, sir.
Where are you going to be next, Harvey?
This weekend, the 10th, I don't know when the show's going to run, but Big Red Oaks got a event that is in honor of Bobby Stinchcomb, mm-hmm, who was a level 3 instructor and brought a lot of kids through the ranks and unfortunately passed away due to COVID. And so Big Red Oak is donating all the funds from the shoot to his youth team. And it'll be this weekend, the 16th. Or the 10th, I'm sorry,
right,
of April. And then after that, I'll be at Old Hudson shooting FITASC on the 17th. And then I'll be at the Southeast Regional.
So will I. Guess I'll see you there.
Good. Let's have a beverage together.
I hear you. All right, Harvey, thanks for coming on, man. And I'll see you at the Regionals.
Justin, I appreciate what you do. Thank you very much.
All right. See you later, Harvey.